Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the first in-season episode of the UConn Football Pod. This is Amon Kidwai. I'm joined by Luke Swanson and Tucker Warner. The Huskies opened their season in Logan, Utah, and shocked the world by covering the 27-point spread, jumping out to a 14-0 lead, and managing to keep it within one score going into the fourth quarter. This may sound like loser talk to some, but for those who have been following UConn football really closely, we know this is certainly a sign of progress and something to be feeling good about as an observer. Of course, a win would have been cool. Playing slightly better would have been great. Not losing some key players to injury also would have been nice, but you can't have everything you want. Overall, I think we can all agree we are pretty impressed with the Huskies' initial performance. I would say that's mostly due to having modest expectations going into this week zero matchup. But still, Tucker, what stood out to you from the first weekend's matchup?
Honestly, what stood out to me most is just the general overall improvement of this team, as we saw over the course of the game. I know we came out with a bang in the first quarter, really slipped in the second and tried to adjust. And as we came out of the locker room at halftime, the adjustments that Mora and the coaching staff made were, you know, really strong and helped get the Huskies back in it in order to have a competitive result at the end of the game. We did not see that at any point last year against a team as good as Utah State. So that's the sort of thing that really speaks to the overall improvement of the team. Obviously, this is going to be marred by the injuries that we saw that may keep Taquan Roberson out for the season, that may keep Keelan Marion out for an extended period of time. Hopefully, both of those guys can get back as soon as possible. But honestly, in the second half, even without them, the adjustments that the team was able to make and the way that they came out looking fairly strong in that second half, despite the injuries, that speaks to an overall improvement with the team that we didn't have at any point last season.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that just it speaks to the overall raised level of play that. And this is gonna sound a little like the quote unquote loser talk that Amon was talking about earlier. But despite losing the turnover margin by three to two, still losing the turnover margin, having sort of a grieved call at the end of the game, which it's been a while since we could say that something like that has made the difference between a win or a loss. But between those two things, just the luck not really going UConn's way, it could have been a totally different game. And it's not like this is a bad team either. Like, yeah, Utah State did look a little rough around the edges at points, and there are certainly things that they can improve upon as a program. But just the fact that UConn was able to keep it close into the fourth quarter. Now, I think that them jumping out to an early lead might not have been the big surprise. I think it's that their defense buckling down and getting a lot of very key stops in the second half and clawing back into it with the field goals. That's what really stuck out to me as overall, like in game flow. That's what really made me very impressed with this game as someone who's watched a lot of UConn football over the past couple of years.
Yeah, and it may not matter much, but Taquan Roberson did look like he had comfortable command of the offense. I know we're going off of an incredibly small sample size, but I think, leading them for a touchdown drive, moving them down the field, he looked solid doing it. Incredibly unfortunate for him. All indications are ACL injury and out for the season, but they responded from that too. I mean, you turn to a true freshman in Zion Turner, and you know, they, I don't want to say they don't lose a step, but they stayed in the game. And that's really remarkable when you consider everything. It was already probably going to be a run heavy offensive strategy. That's going to be the case even more going forward, but it does look like UConn can run the ball, which is a good thing. Nate Carter ran it 20 times for 190 yards. That's 9.5 yards per carry. And it was not just Carter who deserves credit for that. The offensive line was also getting a good push, which is not something that we have seen consistently in a very long time. So those performances are really encouraging. Both Zion Turner, a true freshman, coming in and not shitting his pants, you know, is what we'll call that performance. And the scheme, you know, effort from the team to manage around that, as well as what looks like a really strong running game.
If we're going to dig into the running game for a second, I was very impressed with some of the run looks that Tarleton was able to draw up. The window dressing wasn't as overwhelming as maybe some feared. It was simple, but it was a little exotic in its own way, and it definitely set up Carter it set him up for success. Now, a lot of things had to happen for him to have one of the best running performances since, I'm going to pull out a name, David Pindell graced the sidelines for UConn. But he really, I think he improved from last year. I think he's got a lot better vision now. He's very, very hard to take down. I'd like to get his workout program, because he's at a very low center of gravity. He's very slippery and just was able to bounce off and elude tackles in a way where he would get hit, but he just wouldn't go down. He'd be able to slide off and not get wrapped up. And it wasn't like it was bad tackling either. So that was very impressive to me from Carter. I think that the offensive line, definitely a story of a very Jekyll and Hyde performance from the offensive line. I'm sure we'll go into some of the negatives later, but Haynes and Guidon were tremendous, tremendous blockers on the inside there. The trap, the power, it's hard to ask for two better players to run that than those two guys for UConn football. And those are two dudes right there. Like, if they keep up this level of performance for the whole year, UConn, and Carter does as well, UConn's going to have a very potent running game.
Yeah, and Duhu, I mentioned another guy who I thought really stood out on the offensive line. Valentin Sen was out there on the left tackle, opening up a ton of holes. And overall, I think that this was a line where the left half really shone throughout the entire game, and the right half was a little shaky at times and maybe did not provide UConn with the best protection in pass plays or really with a lot of running opportunities for Carter. Nonetheless, I'm going to have to agree with you, Luke, on exactly where Carter is with his improvement after his true freshman season. Note to Randy Edsall, this is what happens when you actually retain players to start for your team for more than 1 year. You're able to see them improve as they get older and maybe even get better and, you know, contribute to a winning team, which it might look like UConn is trending towards at this point through, you know, one game. So overall, I mean, if you take a look at this offense, yeah, I have my question marks about Zion Turner right now. I'm a little uncertain about exactly where he stands, but we know that if we have to get into this run-heavy game that does suit our skill set already, well, then we do have the personnel to pull it off. And I think that going forward is going to be the thing that could end up helping out Zion Turner and maybe later down the road, Cale Millen or Tyler Pomachan or whoever may be taking snaps at QB, knowing that you do have that run game you can turn to if necessary.
I think that if we're going into sort of how the offensive line was a mixed bag, I think that you're right. That right side of the offensive line has a bit to work on in terms of pass protection, especially. And I'd say the offensive line as a whole didn't provide Turner with the best base on which to really get set and go through his reads. So Tarleton turned to the screen game early. A lot of rollouts, a lot of structured routes, just some really super structured stuff. And I think that stuff worked well. You wouldn't really know it based on the quarterback line at the end of the day. But Turner made a couple really good passes. The touchdown pass to, was it Marion?
Yep.
Yeah, the touchdown to pass to Marion was fit into a really tight window, and there were flashes. So whether they decide to go with him for the rest of the season, or whether I'd say maybe more likely have him get a couple more games and then throw a redshirt on him, I think that there's flashes there.
Yeah, and with Turner, I actually have lost no faith whatsoever in his potential. If anything, I feel more sure than I did before that Turner is one day going to be a good quarterback at the FBS level. But he's also a true freshman who was playing high school games against 16-year-olds, not even a full year ago, excuse me. And now he's got to go in and play against grown men in FBS level football at a team that is probably going to be ranked in the top 25 at some point this season in Utah State. And yeah, that's going to be an adjustment. So I think the positives you can take from this is that he never really looked panicked in the pocket. It wasn't as if the game was moving too fast for him. He just struggled to adjust to a lot of the defensive looks they're going to throw at him. He doesn't have a veteran QB's pocket awareness just yet, but these are all things that are going to come with time. You can see the arm skill is there. He's not afraid to try to extend plays with his legs. He threw the ball away at the right times, and you know there's going to be so many college quarterbacks you see this year who just absolutely keep the ball because they're like, no I can get it deep, and then all of a sudden they're sacked for a 15 or 20 yard loss. So overall, I think that Turner is going to be in a good spot here eventually. It's just not going to happen overnight. He's a true freshman. I think that if they want to just give him some time as the starter for the time being, yeah, I'm on board with that.
One thing I will note about Turner's performance is one thing that I'd like to see him develop even more, maybe even more than his throwing game, just because we know that or at least we can see so far that that talent is there based on fall camp and what we saw in the first game and his high school career. We know his arm is good. I just think that the one thing that Robertson would have provided had he stayed healthy is quicker decisions in the run game, mm-hmm. and more skill as a runner. I think Turner is a good runner, but no, a good runner for, he's proven in high school that he's a good runner, but I think that at the next level, it's still a situation where everyone's bigger, everyone's coming faster. So it's a jump up in that aspect. And I'd really like to see him, it's strange to say this about a quarterback, but I'd like to see him develop as a runner if UConn is going to continue with this run heavy offense, because we saw a couple read option looks. I think it's something that we would have seen a lot more of had Robertson, maybe not a lot more of, but we would have seen more of had Robertson stayed in as the quarterback, because he does bring that talent there. But I think that Turner, that's one area where he could stand to develop if UConn's going to continue with this brand of offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there was a few times there when he was out of the pocket and maybe looking at a defender in a one-on-one situation, and he just looked a little hesitant to tuck the ball and go forward with it. I think that'll come with time. Like you said, these guys are just a lot faster at this level, a lot bigger, and I get the hesitancy, and that's something that just comes with experience as you get adjusted and acclimated to the game at this level. So yeah, I ultimately think that once he develops as a runner too, he's going to really step up his game as a result.
Yep, Morris said he is going to be the starter going forward. I think it is interesting to kind of monitor whether or not UConn looks to shut him down and redshirt him. I feel like that kind of just goes against the football guy ethos to do something like that, particularly if he goes in and plays well or improves over the course of four games. Is it really better for his development to shut him down so he can play another season 5 years from now? I'm not 100% sure, but I think just something to think about that's different is now he will be taking all of the first team reps, as Jim Mora pointed out in one of his recent press conferences. And so now he's going to be preparing as the starter, whereas, this time 1 week ago, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go into this game. I'm the backup. We'll see what happens. You really don't expect the starter to go down on the second drive of the season. and for you to be the primary backup that goes right in when you're a true freshman. So it's a lot to absorb and handle and take on. And obviously they had to really constrict the play calling and playbook. I think that's going to be less the case, certainly against Central, again, because of the reps thing, but also the fact that UConn should have some sort of talent advantage in this game, which I think would make life a little bit easy for him. But that's also an opportunity for Turner, really, as for this game to be a get-right opportunity for him and a receiving group that needs to look different now that it's missing its top two guys from, you know, three from who we thought it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. It really is a rough thing to have over the rest of this season that the number one QB and number one receiver are gone. And to have it happen so quickly, it is going to affect how we think about the trajectory of the season. Still, nevertheless, you have to be impressed with Turner. I think it looks like he's going to get a shot indefinitely. And for me now, as it relates to this UConn team as a whole, I gotta say, I'm all of a sudden with Tucker thinking, can UConn beat the Syracuse team? maybe. I wanted to know what you guys thought about the defensive performance, though, just briefly, before we dive into some other stuff. They seemed to look all right out there. They made stops in the early going. They forced a couple of turnovers. It certainly wasn't enough, and Utah State also did get lots of chunk plays and seemed to move the ball at will when it needed to. How do you guys feel about how the defense did on Saturday?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was a tale of two defenses for me. If you look at the front seven, I think that they actually had a pretty good game. Obviously, a lot of credit has to go to Jackson Mitchell, just all over the field, led the team in tackles with 16, had the team's only sack, and just generally was doing exactly what you would want from a guy at the linebacker position, just completely destructive. And they had to, Utah State had to play their game plan around him. So a lot of credit goes to the front seven. Meanwhile, the secondary just looked shaky all night. There was a couple promising performances. I did like, some of our safeties. I think Malik Dixon played a pretty solid game. I also thought that Chris Sheeran, when the ball was around him, was able to make some plays as well. For a guy who had a lot of snaps, he wasn't always, seen by the TV cameras. And if you're in pass coverage, that's normally a good sign that you are, in fact, doing your job. On the other hand, though, you had a couple guys who, were here last year, and I don't want to, call out any one person and say this is the entire reason the defense was there or was so bad. But Caleb Anthony, with 88 snaps, played every single defensive play and just didn't make an impact whatsoever. He led up a couple of big plays, missed some tackles, just overall and completely unimpressive performance from a guy who had been here the season before as a starter. And that's the type of performance you can't have from returning guys. So with Miles Bell still recovering from the Achilles injury that took him out last season, it might be Anthony's time to really need to either pick it up or just get replaced by Bell in the starting lineup for the next games.
Yeah, I'll echo what you're saying, Tucker, about the defensive front seven. But like, for me, the linebackers were the more proven group than the defensive line. But the defensive line, and you've already said what else more is there to say about Jackson Mitchell? The dude is a monster. I'm so happy that he got to have one of his best games of his career in a showcase game on national TV, because that dude has been at the center of some really, really poor UConn defenses. And just to really showcase his tremendous talents in front of a national audience, it got to feel really good for the guy.
Yep.
But in terms of the defensive line, I will say that was a pleasant surprise for me, because there were a lot of unknowns in there. There was a lot of we were really kind of questioning where these pieces would fit. Lost a lot of talent. I think McDuffie, very big physical presence, not going to offer you a whole lot so far in the pass rush, which is still where they need to improve. But got him, Gordine, Watts, they all really did their thing on the defensive line and plugged up those gaps and allowed Mitchell to really get into those areas and make those tackles. It's really tough for a linebacker if your defensive line is getting double teamed and a guy's able to break off and get you in that second level. And in terms of run defense, the defensive line really did a good job of just eating those blocks and letting linebackers do what they do best. Now in the pass rush, they got to show me more. As of this game, only one sack came from Mitchell. Your defensive line has to, and outside linebackers at least have to get to the quarterback. And it was an issue last year, and we had said it might be an issue going into this year, and they haven't really shown us anything to the contrary. So that's one area that I would like to see improved upon on the defensive line. And like you said, the defensive backfield left a lot to be desired. It's kind of the same old story. So it's either a talent of you got to coach these guys up or get more talent in the room. And maybe some of the newer guys they brought in might rise to the top over the course of the season.
Yeah, and I think what's going to end up being the overall big storyline for the season, at least defensively, is how does Mora determine the playing time and the snap count that these guys are getting? Because if you're going to have like guys who are starters right now who are getting outplayed by guys who are coming off the bench and maybe not even seeing half of the snaps as a result, well, it's a matter of, okay, do we run with experience or do we just give these younger, newer guys a chance to shine if they've been outplaying the guys above them? So along that note, two guys I wanted to shout out who didn't play that much of the game on the defensive line, but I thought played really well when they were in the game, were sophomore Colin McCarthy and the redshirt freshman Price Yates. I thought that both of them didn't, play all that much, but it seemed like they were, being very productive when they were in the game. Yates especially, I know he didn't play that much, but it felt like every time he took a snap, he was out there trying to make something happen, beating his matchup, making something happen. And even though it didn't result in any sacks or tackles for loss, he was a guy who was really making sure that like things were happening for the UConn defense. Same with McCarthy. He actually kind of surprised me with how he was able to get past his blocker. I know he missed a couple tackles, but I think that might be, a little bit of bad luck there too. If you get to, a lot of tackles in the snaps that you have, you're sometimes going to miss them too. But for a guy like that, who's not supposed to be the major matchup for an opposing offensive line, if you have like McCarthy and Yates or whoever it might be in future games who are not the focal point and they're still trying to make things happen, that's exactly what the UConn defense lacked in these past seasons when teams were just triple teaming Travis Jones all the time and we weren't able to create anything. So ultimately, I think Mora is going to have to eventually look long and hard at who he considers the starters right now and consider reconfiguring a lot of the defensive looks, because there were some guys who were young, coming off the bench and, hungry for action, really making plays, and some guys who were maybe entrenched in the starting lineup who did not impress whatsoever. So going to be some tough decisions here coming up for Mora and the UConn coaching staff. I hope they make the right ones. I'm not 100% ready to say to hitch my wagon to any one player needing us to start or any one player needing to get benched right now. But there's a couple guys that I'm looking at on both ends who may be able to help improve the team with a little bit of a shift in their snap counts.
I'm really glad you shouted out McCarthy, because he was the only guy who could get in the backfield all game, it seemed like, on the defensive line and cause some havoc back there. So I think when you talk about guys who maybe should see a couple more snaps going forward, I think he's a guy that should maybe split time at either of the defensive tackle positions, to be honest, because he's really the only guy that stood out to me in that area of the field. So shout out Irish excellence. You can never have enough Irish lads on the team.
One other thing to note, too, that just stood out to me looking at the snap count is how little Marquez Bembry played. Now, I projected him to be pretty much in the lineup at every snap. You know, he's got experience, age, he's a vocal leader. But yet it seemed like other linebackers were, you know, more in the rotation than he was. So even without Hunter Webb, I don't think he even played a snap. And, you know, those were a few guys who I thought were going to be contributors to the team this year. Little surprised to see, you know, Bembry, for example, you know, like basically getting the boot when we went to a nickel package and adding an extra defensive back. Seemed like his, yeah, he seemed like he was pretty productive when he was on the field. So maybe I'll have to take a look back, see if I missed something. But he's a guy that I would probably try to get a few more snaps out of next time.
Yeah, it might just be a case of a guy getting shuffled out, not by his own fault, just by the different looks that the offense was throwing at him, and because of that, they decided to shift to a different defensive scheme in that regard. So that might explain a little bit of it, but it might be a factor of scheme and not talent exactly, because they were rotating those outside edge rushers quite a bit in the game.
I think another thing to just highlight about the defensive performance is that this is a really strong offense that they played against. Logan Bonner was putting some throws in some very tight windows. And overall, you have to imagine this is one of the better offenses that UConn will face this year. So with that in mind, and again, the fact that, you know, very similar week zero contest last year, they allowed 45 points. I think I was encouraged by the defense making some stops, looking like it can stop people, and being stout up front, as you guys brought up. Jackson Mitchell was also the only person to get a sack, speaking of the lack of pass rush, and his turnover that he forced was just so awesome, the way he just like ripped the football out of that guy's hands. That's, you know, that's a huge play in the game, and it's something that, in addition to leading the team in tackles, to pull off something like that really is incredible. I'm excited for what we see out of Jackson Mitchell the rest of this season. And I think with the way that the front seven held up, at least every again, these are the things that don't sound like the coolest thing or loser talk, but it's like, at least every single team won't be able to move the ball at will against UConn on the ground and in the air, you know, whenever they want. And I think that's going to be an improvement that serves them well and ultimately has me, in addition to all of these things that we've discussed, really rethinking how many winnable games there are this season and that kind of thing. I don't know how you guys feel.
Well, I said in our schedule preview for this season that UConn could win six games this year, and Utah State wasn't even one of them. So I still think the ceiling is six and a bowl. I think that, you know, UConn still has the ability to get there. Obviously, it's going to be an uphill battle when you lose two offensive starters, maybe for the season in the first game of the year. But, you know, those six games are still on the table. And I think that, you know, if we don't beat Central fairly convincingly, we're going to be in trouble. So I think that first real test is going to be Syracuse. Maybe they win that game, maybe they don't. But if that's a team that they can go out there and really compete with, that's a huge step up from where we were last season, where there was not really a single Power Five team that we were even capable of competing against. And yes, I'm including Vanderbilt in that. Yeah, I think that looking forward, we're going to be in pretty good shape, but it's a question of how does Mora and Charlton prepare a full game plan knowing that Zion Turner is going to be the starter at QB?
I don't know if I'm willing to go six. Just looking at the schedule, I think five might be the ceiling. But I do think that just the way, really the thing that makes me kind of reconsider the expectations for the season or the outlook on the season is the way that UConn was able to run the ball, and specifically the performance of Carter. Because even if you have a lot of units that are subpar, maybe not FBS level or not average FBS level, if you have an elite running game and if you have an elite running back, you can win a lot of games. Like, if you look at team, if you look at like triple option teams like Army and Air Force, like those, their athletes on defense, like Army has a good defense, but their athletes on defense are not really, almost not even FBS level, just with the size of those guys and their recruiting restrictions, but they're still able to have successful seasons. And even a team like Navy that's down right now because they decided to just to disown their head coach and move his favorite coordinator to like an analyst role, they're able to have better seasons than UConn. It's just because they have they have a good running game, and that can sort of carry you as a team if you're able to shove it down folks' throats. So I don't think UConn could do that against North Carolina State or Michigan or some of the better teams in their schedule, which is why I think that ceiling is sort of capped. But I do think that if you have a good running game and if you have an elite running back, that can carry you a long way.
It's going to have to. And yeah, I mean, he might run for like 300 yards against UMass. Who knows? It could be one of the most epic performances of all time. And it might just be what UConn needs to do in that moment. But I would say I definitely have increased my win expectations for this season. I'm going to keep it very secret what my preseason guess was, but it's gone up. Yeah, and that's, you got to give him that after this week. A lot of noise, a lot of things happening in the lead up to the first game of the season. You lose the defensive coordinator. There's still a ton of negativity surrounding UConn football, no matter who the head coach is. And so to come out in week one like this, even though it is a loss, it's building positivity, and they have a chance to build on that with Central Connecticut State next week and a very interesting test coming up in 2 weeks, hosting Syracuse. That is going to do it for us here on the Football Pod. Thank you for listening.